Hi, everyone. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Tuesday, March the 12th, and welcome to our commentary. I got my Rangers shirt on. You know, the Texas Rangers, the baseball season starting in a few weeks, so I wanted to get a little local support here for the local baseball team. We're certainly hoping that they repeat as World Series champs, but that's a hard thing to do. To say the least. Well, today we'll be talking about this pretty interesting presentation before the House by Special Counsel Herr. I guess he's no longer a special counsel. I think he did resign from the Department of Justice, but that, I think, happened the last couple of days. But he still, of course, is responsible for the report. And he talked about that today. And then some bits of information from the January 6th committee that have just come out that really are just absolutely fascinating. But let me begin by directing you to an article that I have over at the American Thinker, my post today, talking about, and the title of the post is that Trump is not a threat to our democracy. He's a threat to the Democrats. And the argument that I'm making in this post, and again, you can read it over at theamericanthinker.com, or you can check my blog and pick it up there. Or you can, if you follow me on Twitter, you can also see it there, because I post every day my American Thinker post over there. But the point I'm making is that Trump is challenging some of the traditional voting blocks that the Democrats have had, like the Hispanics, the African Americans. And you can look in some of the data, some indications that there could be a few surprises in November. And one of the groups that is sort of leading this change is African-American men, who tend to be favoring Trump a little bit more than they usually do. Now, why is that? I it's probably a lot of different reasons, hard to say. And we're not sure exactly how this is all going to develop. I think we have to wait for the election. But if you're looking at some indications in the polling data, I think the bottom line with African-Americans is a dissatisfaction with the way things are going. I mean, the truth is that most of the African-American areas in the United States, these cities run by Africans, frankly, are not very well run. And then you look at the public schools in many of these cities, these schools are simply not graduating kids with the skills to go out and compete in an international economy. So the level of dissatisfaction is growing and growing and growing. When you combine that with a President Biden who's never really been, you might say, that popular with the African-American community, going back to the 90s when he sponsored a lot of those crime bills that were not popular in the African-American community and so on. So I think it's a combination of things. But the bottom line is that these groups, Hispanics, are in somewhat of a similar situation too. Hispanics and African-Americans who had been reliable Democrat votes are not going to be as reliable in 2024 as they used to be in the past. The Democrats know this, and I think they're starting to panic a little bit. And that's why they're off on all of these things about, you know, Trump being a threat to democracy and a threat to our institutions, and he's going to be a dictator and all this kind of stuff that frankly doesn't make any sense. I don't see any evidence that he's going to be a dictator. I don't see any. And the biggest reason, it's not so much what I feel, is that he was president for 4 years, and he was president of the United States for 4 years, and the country functioned. The press was not shut down. None of the Democrat opposition leaders were put in jail or anything like that. So I think there's a record there. And when people remember his record, they remember more the good economy and the more, let's say, Pacific situation around the world. And I just think a lot of people look at what's going on right now and compare it to Trump, and they say, you know what, the predecessor was not such a bad guy. So let's maybe look in his direction. Again, we will know on Election Day whether these trends are real or whether they're not. And, you know, we still have 8 months in this campaign, 7 months, whatever it is. So just because you see it in polling data in the month of March, it doesn't mean it's going to be this way on the first Tuesday of November. But if I was a Democrat, I'd be worried about some of the data that they are seeing and some of the information that they are seeing, that the groups that they have historically been depending on, to win elections are having second thoughts about them. And that's the real threat. Trump is threatening that political coalition, and that's why the Democrats are, frankly, fit to be tied. They don't know what to say. They don't know what to do, except to say, of course, that Trump wants to be a dictator, and he's a threat to our democracy. Utter nonsense. Utter complete nonsense. So check out my post. It's over at the American Thinker. Well, Special Counsel Herb was, I guess he still is, before the House committee. He's going through the usual dance of questions. You know, these House sessions, and I guess the Senate is about the same, they've become a waste of time because you know exactly what people are going to say. The Democrats have spent most of the morning talking about Trump. That's all they know what to do is talk about Trump. And the Republicans, of course, are talking about the fact that President Biden broke the rules. And my sense is that he did break the rules. I mean, he had documents he wasn't supposed to have. And these documents were kept in unsafe places, his garage, his office at the university, wherever he had them. And he shouldn't have done this. He shouldn't have done this. I mean, it's very clear that he didn't have the authority to do this. And the special counsel issued a report where he basically said, you know, yes, we have found all these problems, but we don't, you know, he's kind of an older man with a memory problem, and he may be a sympathetic figure in front of a jury, which, again, I didn't understand that those were reasons not to, to find you guilty. But the bottom line is that he is guilty of having had these documents he wasn't supposed to have. And it's going to be very, very difficult for Jack Smith, who's also overseeing the documents case, to tell the American people, we're going to put Trump in jail for violating these documents, or we're going to indict him or put him in jail or take him to a trial because he had these documents. But nothing is going to happen to Vice President Biden because he has a bad memory. And definitely nothing did happen to Hillary Clinton when she had documents. And I just don't think the public is going to put up with that. I think much of the public is going to look at that, at those conclusions and say, this is all partisan and political, and they're not going to buy it. It's not going to pass what they call the smell test. And that's the problem with all of this. That's the problem with all of this. Now, where this goes after this hearing today, some of the questions coming from the Republican side suggested that maybe this was going to be part of the impeachment process of President Biden. Look, they impeached President Trump for far less than this. I mean, that famous phone call with the guy from Ukraine or whatever, and that was a heck of a lot less than this. Here you have a president or a vice president who had documents he wasn't supposed to have. I mean, I think that's a stronger case than the phone call with Ukraine. But, you know, whether this rises to the level of impeachment or not, I don't know. But I do have to find comical. For me, it's absolutely comical and disrespectful that members of the Democrats in this committee, all they want to do is talk about Trump. And then at one point, even one of the Democrats was suggesting that Special Counsel Herr was actually a Republican because he was a member of the Federalist Society. I mean, what kind of a question is that? What kind of a statement is that? I think you can definitely disagree with his report, but, you know, why would you start attacking him personally or somehow trying to suggest that he's got ulterior motives here? I don't understand that, but that's what these meetings have come down to. Unfortunately, these House presentations, that's what they always come down to. Ideology and, you know, you're on my side and you're on the other side. And we're going to try to destroy the person invited to the committee. I guess it depends what side you're on. We're going to try to destroy you. And I just don't think that's what the country wants to see, nor what the country needs. What the country needs to see right now is whether or not Vice President Biden, broke the law with respect to these documents. If President Trump broke the law with respect to these documents, okay, tell us that too. I'm not afraid of hearing that, but these attacks on the special counsel and that he's a Republican and that he, even one member of the on the Democrat side was saying today that special counsel Herr wrote this report because he wants a job in the Trump administration. And it occurred to me as he was saying that, well, that's not a bad idea. Maybe we should put this guy in the Justice Department. I don't know. But to suggest that that was his motivation is so stupid on the part of these Democrats who just have nothing else to say. They have nothing else to say except attack Trump and attack the person delivering the report. Well, the report is the report. And no doubt that President Biden was not doing something, or Vice President Biden was doing something incorrect. He was not supposed to have these documents or share these documents, as we learned today, with the guy who is ghostwriting his book. That's totally unacceptable. A couple of quick things. We found out today, or I guess in the last couple of days, that the January 6th committee knew that President Trump had offered to put troops on the ground before January 6th. And we also learned, remember that young woman who was accusing President Trump of saying that he had tried to take control of the automobile from the Secret Service agent guy and all of this? Well, we learned today that the Secret Service denied this and that the committee knew these two things. The committee knew about President Trump offering troops and that the committee knew that that whole report was false. And yet nobody at that committee defended the truth and brought this up, which again leads me to the same conclusion I had about this committee a year ago or whenever it was, and that this was not a true committee because President Trump was not allowed to have people in that committee who were going to defend him. So it became nothing but a partisan one-side attack on President Trump, and that's the reason why the country doesn't believe the conclusions of this January 6th committee and why it didn't get anywhere. But, you know, we got to cut this out. We got to cut this out. This crazy partisanship has got to stop, or otherwise, I don't know where this country is going to go. Honestly, I don't know where we're going to go unless we cut out these extreme forms of partisanship. I understand there's going to be politics, but this crazy partisanship is not helping anybody. Well, maybe you remember, let me leave you with this quick note here. Maybe you remember back in the 1960s, there was a television show called Get Smart. It was kind of a comedy on a secret agent type. There was a guy named Maxwell Smart who was a secret agent. And if you remember, he walked into his office by going through all these electric doors. It was a crazy, funny show. Maxwell Smart was the name of the secret agent. He had a sidekick, a beautiful young woman who was his sidekick. And she was known as 99, Agent 99. Maybe you remember that. Well, it turns out that Agent 99, her real name is Barbara Feldon. And Barbara Feldon is 91 today. So we say happy number 91 to Agent 99. Who would have thought when we were watching this show many years ago that 99 would maybe even get to 99 years old? I don't know. Maybe I hope she does. But Agent number 99 is 91 today. Happy birthday. She was cute. I thought she was a really cute girl, very tall, skinny girl, but she was really cute. Agent 99. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye, everybody.